Pop Spotting 146.
Monday, October 17th, 2011.
We're going to be fine. We have to do it. It's the right thing to do, and nothing bad happens when you're doing the right thing.
Is this your personal theory? Because I can shoot holes in it.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's Movie Monday.
And we have a relatively new release to talk about this week. It came out a little over a week ago, and it is Ides of March. Now, we try not to get too excited or judge too much on previews, but when we saw the trailers for this film, we really wanted to see it.
It looked like a political thriller, and it had a really top-shelf cast. George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Paul Giamatti, and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's right. Now, of course, you're a fan of both Clooney and Gosling, and, you know, I'm sure it's for their acting ability. The film was directed by Clooney. The screenplay was by him and Grant Heslov, but this is actually based on a book. The book was called Farragut North, and it was a play by Bo Willimon, and it was modeled after the Howard Dean campaign in 2004, but it wasn't a very direct translation. It was just inspired by it, and that's how we got this film and what takes place in Ides of March.
Ryan Gosling plays Stephen Myers, who is an advisor to Mike Morris, who is a governor. We don't know which state, but he's running for president. And his key campaign strategist is Paul Duffy, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Now, it wouldn't be a presidential politics movie without an intern, and we've got one here. It's Evan Rachel Wood playing Molly, and we also have Marissa Tomei here in a role as a journalist. So, first of all, overall, how did you like Ides of March?
It's always good to see Marissa Tomei, and it's really good to see Evan Rachel Wood. I love the roles that Evan Rachel Wood takes. They're always a little bit edgy and a little bit different from what you'd expect. And I thought this role was a really good fit for her because you're expecting kind of the same typical ingenue that you see in a lot of movies like this, but she turns out to be a little bit different. So I think this film was really good for both of them. On the other hand, I wanted a little less political, but a little more thriller, if you know what I mean. I was expecting something a little bit different based on the previews. There's a lot of talking in this film, but it's not quite as witty or sharp as I would have imagined, and it really didn't feel like anything we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the film. I thought it was a good film. It was a well-put-together film, and it was enjoyable, but I certainly expected more. I mean, not even just talking about the trailers, but you look at George Clooney, you look at maybe Ryan Gosling, you definitely look at Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti, a great cast, and, you know, basically a storyline that is built for the big screen. I think that there could have been a lot more with this film than we actually got. But it's not to say that I didn't think it was good. Now, George Clooney is typical, wonderful, classic Clooney, and if you like him, you'll like this film. He's very smug and very smart and very charming. He's got that smirk. He knows almost always exactly what to say. I mean, basically, he's a dream candidate. It's sort of like the Martin Sheen character in West Wing,
right?
Somebody who you would almost want to be your president in the real world. But unfortunately, I agree, it's a very talky film, a very pensive film. We recently talked about another pensive, thoughtful film called Moneyball, and that one had a very similar feel in a way and pacing in a way, but unfortunately Moneyball had Aaron Sorkin, and this film did not. Now, we might be giving Sorkin false credit, but because of The West Wing, because of this material in Ides of March, I did have kind of that hope and that expectation, and it didn't quite live up to that.
A lot of the plot does revolve around politics, but the movie isn't really about politics as much as it is about loyalty and idealism. And by the end of the film, we're wondering if Ryan Gosling's character is a true believer, if he's really 100% behind Clooney, or if he's become cynical through all of the things that he's seen and experienced.
Well, you know, I would agree that it's about some of those bigger themes. There are some very broad strokes here. In fact, I think my complaint and what we're both kind of saying is that we might have liked a little bit more fine detail, because there's some very broad strokes as far as idealism and loyalty and trust and all of that. And it is about politics. I mean, there's a lot of talk about getting endorsements and delegates and winning Ohio. This is about the primary election. I mean, again, like you said, a story that we've seen 1,000 times. But when you say it's a question about where Gosling is, I'm not really sure if it's unclear. I do like that the film kind of presents him as this, you know, not naive, but someone who is 100% a believer in what he's saying and what he's doing. He's with this character candidate, not because he thinks he can win, but because he believes in what he says. But from the very first scene, I do think that they telegraph that Gosling is not exactly there, that there is kind of a cynical side to him. There is kind of a willingness, the ability for him to do what he has to do, right or wrong, in the name of winning. And I that's the kind of the exploration that I think the film is taking, but I do think it does a pretty good job with that. I mean, it is true that Clooney is playing a Democratic candidate. This is about the Democratic Party, at least it's set in that world. It's very West Wing in that way, but I think also, but maybe more so than the West Wing, what this film does is, even though this candidate, Clooney, says all the right things, he's just got enough of an independent streak, he doesn't play well, just enough so that you really, really like him, he seems so perfect, yet the entire system as depicted in this film is a complete mess, and in a way it kind of shows that they're no better than anybody else. I mean, I frankly, you know, Clooney does come up with one initiative, for example, that seems so ridiculous, so socialist, that I'm sure even you know, the conservatives in the audience are kind of wringing their hands and kind of smirking at that. So, I mean, it isn't really a partisan film. It is mostly set in the world of politics. Let's talk about the performances. I mean, I said that I saw the classic Clooney here. He's giving you exactly what you're expecting in this role as a presidential candidate. Did you see more or less out of him than you were expecting in Ides of March?
Probably just the same amount that I was expecting. There's a scene in a restaurant kitchen between he and Gosling, which is my favorite scene in the whole film, because he's doing his George Clooney thing and Ryan Gosling is doing his Ryan Gosling kind of thing. But I think they really work well together, and their characters are paired off in kind of a chess match where they're trying to figure each other out and trying to size each other up. And I think that probably the scenes with George Clooney alone or with other characters don't work as well as he does in that last scene.
Well, you know, that scene is set up as kind of the showdown, the final one. You would maybe compare it to the restaurant scene in Heat, or, you know, you've basically finally got these two men alone in a room, man to man, you know, speaking honestly, speaking clearly, but basically showing their cards or playing that chess match. I think, though, that the film kind of does lead us to that point, but really what was more compelling to me was the strategy, was the game that Paul Giamatti's character was playing. Now, Paul Giamatti is not the lead character in this film. We should talk about Ryan Gosling next, but I do want to say that his performance was perhaps the most enjoyable for me, not just because I love Paul Giamatti like you do, but I think that because the game that he was playing, there was a much longer con involved, and when he kind of reveals his game or what works for him, that's what I think struck me much more than that showdown between Clooney and Gosling.
I think he's the whole reason this movie works, because he's not interested in who's conservative or who's liberal and who's on what side. He's just interested in the game. He's interested in seeing how people play against each other. And he really uses Clooney and Gosling's characters and plays them against each other. And when that is finally revealed to the audience, it's wonderful.
Now, we should get to Ryan Gosling. This is certainly the year of Ryan Gosling. We've seen a lot of him. We thought he had a pretty good performance in Drive.
Right.
He was an okay performer in the romantic
Crazy
comedy
sexy
film.
Love.
And so here he's doing Ryan Gosling. I have to admit, he is essentially in many ways the same actor in every film as far as I'm concerned. How would you characterize how he fit in terms of the role of a political advisor or a strategist?
You know, the posters have Clooney all over them, but this is really Gosling's movie. This is a movie about his character, and I thought he was great. I thought he had really great chemistry with Evan Rachel Wood.
Right. Oh, actually, you know what? I'll give you that. When the intern does come in, I mean, her performance was pretty strong. I mean, she telegraphs her story arc almost from the minute she opens her mouth. You can kind of predict where a lot of the film is going to go when she turns up, but the way that she gets into that romantic relationship with Ryan Gosling, I think the two of them work really well together. And I mean, I sometimes make fun of Ryan Gosling. He does do a lot of staring, a lot of pensive thought here, but he does, I think, finally telegraph more of the anguish, more of the conflict that he's facing. I was more in his shoes in this film for sure than I was in Drive. In Drive, there's a scene where he's driving around and we're just sort of looking at him, looking out at the street, and you're thinking to yourself, what's going through that guy's head? In this film, a very similar scene happens. He's driving in the rain. The camera's got a really close up on his face, and in Ides of March, Ryan Gosling's character, I feel we know what he's thinking, or we really understand the conflict that's happening. Maybe that's because the writing is a little obvious, but I will give Gosling credit. This is a pretty good performance for him.
But I don't know, maybe you don't really know what he's thinking. I think it's ambiguous because we're wondering if he's in this predicament that he's in because of Evan Rachel Wood and his desire to protect her. Does he like her, or is he just trying to protect Clooney? Is he trying to get his boss out of this mess?
Well, you know, you said that you're not sure if you feel he's a true believer or not. I think that might be sort of the conflict that this film is wanting to set up, but I would disagree, and I would say that, again, from the very opening scene where he kind of tips his hand, that when he's not in front of an important audience, when he's not in front of his boss, he does have kind of that dark, cynical side. And straight throughout the entire film, as things unfold, as things fall apart, he more and more makes the move away from that idealist, away from that, you know, true believer, to someone who's going to be a cold pragmatist and is going to do whatever he has to do to get it fixed. Now, yes, I do think that he has feelings for Evan Rachel Wood, but I also think that, you know, as nice as he is to her, as much as he steps in to help, that he would still throw her out right out the window if that's what it took, again, to get to where he wanted to go.
Which leads me to the question, what do you think he says in the very final scene? Does he spill all the secrets of the campaign, or does he just go up there and smile and trot out something like, oh, it was just time for new blood, blah, blah, blah? What do you think he does?
Well, I think that he smiles and he says exactly what he's supposed to say, exactly what everybody says when they get a live interview on CNN. I mean, maybe it's because you're more of an idealist, more of a romantic, and I'm more of a cynic. Maybe that is an ambiguous Inception-like ending, but for me, it was a pretty straightforward, pretty solid, you know, unambiguous, dark ending. A great ending, a good ending, at least for the film, but not a question mark. If any of our listeners see the film, I mean, I'd like to hear if there's a different way to interpret how it goes. Now, when we started, you talked a little bit about Evan Rachel Wood. We mentioned Marissa Tomei. I would agree with you on Evan Rachel Wood, that she's good in this role. She has to play someone who's a little young to be at the level she's at. She has to be very bold and forward, so you believe that she got to where she did, but she also has to be someone who's vulnerable and lost and needs help, and I think she does that well, and she has good chemistry with Gosling. But we didn't talk too much about Marissa Tomei. The last time we saw Marissa Tomei was with Ryan Gosling, in a way, in Crazy Stupid Love, and in that role, in that film, she's playing something utterly ridiculous. I mean, enjoyable and fun, but kind of silly. How do you think she redeems herself here in Ides of March?
I think she does a great job because she's playing somebody who relies on other people to do her job, and she's good at her job. But what she needs in her job is not always forthcoming from the people that she relies on, and you really get a sense of that in her role. She's pursuing this lead, and she can't always get the straight answers that she needs. And I think there's some really great scenes where she can demonstrate exactly how far she'll go to get ahead.
Well, I liked her role too, and as you know, I just have a soft spot for the journalist role in any movie, and pretty much in any story. And of course, the journalist role is usually a complete and utter slime ball. I think she walks the line perfectly. I like what you said. You know, she'll do what she needs to do. I like that her character, just like Gosling's character, is sort of playing, or at least with the language of how they speak, is this, you know, the real thing, or is this just business? And I do like that she's basically saying, we might couch everything that we say in terms of relationships and friendships, but in the end, it's just business. You're a source, and I'm a reporter. And, you know, it can't be much more than that. And what about Philip Seymour Hoffman? I would have to say, you know, his role in this film, Ides of March, is very similar to the role that he played in Moneyball, which we just talked about.
He's going to turn into the cranky old guy in movies, and I think he's better than that. He's done some really good work in a lot of different kinds in movies, but I really am afraid of him being typecast a little.
Well, I think that's sort of happening here. I actually thought that it was more of a stretch for us to believe that he was the manager of a sports team, a pro sports team, than it is to see him as the senior advisor in a presidential campaign. I think it really works here when he does have to, as you say, play the role of someone who's an old timer, who knows the ropes, who knows how it's supposed to work, and I think someone who very clearly has strong feelings on the issues of loyalty and betrayal and the right way to do things, the right way to play the game of politics. For him, it's not, you know, always to do whatever it takes to win. It's more also making sure you do it the right way. And he, I think, was perfect to embody that in this film.
I agree. I fear that we're going to see him for the rest of time scowling furiously and chain smoking and pacing, because I have seen him do more than that, and I'm hoping Paul Thomas Anderson does another movie and brings him on board.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yes, there could be a more dynamic role for him. And, you know, it strikes me that there is a theme to how we're describing these performances in a way. You have George Clooney as the perfect presidential candidate, a Democrat with just the right streak of independence. You have Philip Seymour Hoffman as the all-knowing, very wise, and very principled senior campaign advisor. You have Ryan Gosling, the ambitious and charming, you know, secondary advisor to the campaign. I mean, everything about this film is familiar, and that is a criticism. It's well put together, but it doesn't really surprise you, and that's, I think, where any disappointment comes. It's really maybe in the plotting, in the writing of the film.
For about half an hour into the movie, things build up, and you don't really know where it's going to go, and the performances are so good, and there are all these things that could happen, and there's a split second, a precise moment where you know exactly where it's going to go, and it's a little disappointing because, I mean, of all of the hype that this movie has gotten and all of the really great reviews.
Yeah, you know, I think I know exactly what you're saying. I know what you mean. There is a wonderful buildup, and because they're doing so well, you're like, okay, you're waiting for something to happen, and that's a very familiar feeling, and you know when it's happened, and it does hit you, and then you're like, well, I guess this is where it's going to go, and from that point on, you're kind of plotting it away in your head. And there are, meanwhile, things in this movie that really strain credibility, that you cannot, you know, take seriously. There's one plot point involving the need to have $900. Now, yes, these are not, you know, big wigs. They're not fat cats. These are Democrats. Sure, they're poor, but this is a primary presidential campaign. It's got a lot of, you know, assets to it. They have a lot of resources available to them. I cannot believe that Ryan Gosling's character or the people who work for him cannot in some way or through other means find $900 easily. Or actually, I think I'm more bothered that that was a plot point at all, because it turns out to essentially be for naught in the grander story. I mean, it was needless and in many ways kind of ridiculous.
And the whole crisis that serves as the major plot point in this film, it's so strange that nobody knows about it except for the three major key players. This is a really kind of a big deal. And in this age where there's always somebody carrying around a cell phone and reporters waiting around to get a story, in the entire film, only these people know what's happening.
Exactly. I mean, I've worked in politics here in Hawaii, this small little backwater, middle of the Pacific place where it may be just a city council seat or a House seat in the state House of Representatives. And in this political climate, there is no way that this could not have been found out. There is no way that somebody wouldn't talk to somebody somewhere. And when you're talking about politics at this level for something that is carried out pretty much out in plain sight for much of the film, it is a shame, because little things make it hard to take this movie as seriously, I mean, as intensely seriously as this movie takes itself.
It feels like it has all the trappings of a Best Picture Oscar nominee and possibly even a couple of acting Oscar nominations, but for me, the whole thing just kind of rang hollow.
Yeah, I think Oscar bait is a good word for this movie. Don't get me wrong, it is well acted. The performance are worth seeing. It's well presented. It's pretty much seamless in terms of production. The writing could be better. The storyline is a little obvious, but it's a solid film. It just could have been so much more. Ides of March, on a score of 1 to 5, what would you give it?
3.5.
I'd give it a 3. So that is a pop spotting score of 6.5 out of 10 for Ides of March, starring George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Paul Giamatti, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Marissa Tomei, and Evan Rachel Wood. If you go out and take in this film, we'd like you to call us up and tell us what you thought. We'd really like your feedback on this or any other topic we cover here on Pop Spotting.
You can send an email to feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. Or best of all, you can leave a voicemail so we can share it on the show. You can reach it at 815-310-0808.
You can always find great stuff posted by fellow listeners on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting. And if you like to tweet, you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Come back tomorrow for TV Tuesday, where we'll check out more of this fall's new shows. We'll weigh in on a show you've told us we've got to watch, and we will reflect on the season finale of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you are too tired or keep forgetting to sync your podcast, you should check out Stitcher Smart Radio. It's an app for iPhone, Android, and other smartphones that lets you stream the latest episode of your favorite podcast podcasts anytime, anywhere, and it's free.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha. Yeah.